The most dangerous place you can be as a trial lawyer is to think you've got it figured out.
I'm still trying to get better. I still have the passion for it. I believe in it.
Everyone can learn to do what I do.
And yet there's a group here that continues to get extraordinary verdicts.
Trial Lawyers University is revolutionizing educating lawyers to be better trial lawyers. It's been invaluable to me.
Trial Lawyers University, where the Titans come to train. Produced and powered by LawPods.
So, Philip, your time is spent these days really no longer practicing law, but working as a consultant with some of the top trial lawyers in the country.
Yeah, it's been a great career change. I started actually doing trial consulting about 1999.
Uh-huh.
And it just kind of grew in terms of being a bigger and bigger, large, bigger piece of my practice, so that now that's just really all I do. And I get to work with, because I've known people over the years that we've established trust and shared information, and so they invite me to help work on their cases. And so I get to work with really good lawyers on really good cases.
Like Satch Oliver and...
Yeah.
And Eddie Ciarambuoli and Melissa Scartelli.
Yeah. Robin Wishart.
Robin Wishart.
Yeah.
Wishart.
Yeah. Joe Camerlengo. Yeah, it's just right. And it's just that's really just smart lawyers with really good cases. And I'm fortunate to get to work
Dave Christensen, a buddy of mine from Detroit.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
He's coming out here. And people like Sagi Shaked, just to name a few. One of my good friends who also happens to be a rock star of a trial lawyer, who's also teaching two lectures and doing a full-day TBI masterclass here at TLU, which he did last year, to very strong reviews. And, you know, it's just so great to have the best of the best come to teach at TLU. But besides doing the consulting, you're still a student of the game, because you've done my boot camp twice, my trial performance skills boot camps. And even because of the intellectual you are, you had to even write almost like a thesis on what you learned. So tell us about what you learned from participating in my stuff.
So a lot of what Dan talks about, the underlying aspects of it, are all about gesture and the effectiveness of gesture and voice and tone and pace and all that kind of stuff. All nonverbal stuff for the most part.
Nonverbal.
And so I did some research, and then I wrote a paper for Dan, and which I think he's got on his website, about the...
I'm Dan, by the way. I don't know why we're talking about Dan in the third person, but just in case anybody knows, I'm the Dan you're talking about.
The Dan.
Okay, just making sure.
And so the paper really was the scientific underpinnings for the effectiveness in terms of persuasion when you use gestures versus no gestures and eye contact, and how much eye contact can you do before it becomes uncomfortable and counterproductive, and all those kinds of things. And there's great...
I call it getting weird, but...
Yeah. There's great social science research and all that kind of stuff. So the paper is really about saying, here's why all that stuff works, and here's the independent social science research that says why it works or doesn't work, and why. And so that was the first paper. And the second paper I did was this whole thing about experiential learning. So experiential learning is what Dan is... He emphasizes constantly, which is getting on your feet and actually doing the thing. So you can sit and take notes, all day long, but then you can't do it. And so it's great to take notes and have an idea, okay, here's the context for the behavior I need to model and adapt. But until you actually get up and do it, you're never going to be able to integrate it into your style and your practice. And so that's experiential learning, as opposed to just, I guess, didactic learning, where you're just sitting and trying to take notes and understand what the speaker is talking about. Even if they're great teachers, you may, for example, I can talk about the mousetrap, but until you actually get up and try it yourself, you're not going to be able to do it.
Right, you're not going to have the confidence and the comfort to do it in trial or in deposition,
right,
under live fire.
Right. So the second paper was on experiential learning, and that's part of what we're trying to do at what Dan's always doing. We're trying to integrate into our deposition skills is not just specific techniques, but are things you can do in terms of gesture to help and eye contact to help control the witness during a deposition and connect with the witness in a way that might not otherwise be possible. So some of the things we know about and we'll talk about are mirroring, which is very simple, but just getting people to accept that mirroring is an effective way to connect with the client is to some people, it's like, are you kidding? No.
Not kidding.
No. It's easy to do. You should do it. But if you haven't practiced it and haven't thought about it, you're not going to do it. So we'll talk about mirroring, and that's part of the practice that we'll try to get people to walk through, because it's like, if you learn how to mirror, things are going to change in terms of your relationship with that witness.
That's critical. That's critical. So, Philip, we're getting all geared up now. We're getting just a few weeks away from TLU Beach, and you're a frequent flyer at TLU Beach. I think you might have been almost maybe at every one, but if not, definitely the last 3 years, maybe to make it the first year once we, you know, expanded a little bit beyond our first footprint in 2022 and started having multiple tracks and multiple workshops. But what are your... You go to a lot of conferences, and so I already know I have to ask you which one's your favorite. But what are your favorite things about TLU Beach?
I think it's got a rich, robust set of speakers and content that no matter what you're interested in, there's somebody there who's going to be talking about something, who knows what they're doing, that's gotten a great result perhaps, but just a rich, robust content for just about anybody. The second thing is it's not drinking water from a fire hose in the way that many programs are. There's some programs that just go on too long for too many hours with too few breaks, so that you're just brain dead at the end of the day. And TLU has a forced agenda, which initially I kind of resisted because it's like you go for an hour and you break for 15 minutes every time. It's like, wait a minute, I got another 15 minutes of good stuff here. No, you break at an hour and you have 15 minutes so people can kind of clear their heads, meet with the vendors, talk to one another, connect with other people.
Go to the bathroom. Yeah, it's always kind of important during a conference. Right. Or maybe send an email so that whatever's pressing on their brain they can get rid of.
And then second thing is the social aspects of it are just really unmatched in terms of you are connecting with people more during the day than you would in another program because you're not just constantly sitting there drinking water from the fire hose, but also you're meeting with people on breaks, you're working in smaller groups. And
the
then
workshops.
There's just the great social event every night. With it may be
80s tracksuit pool party that we're having.
It may be wearing some silly costume.
Oh, you know? Whoa. It's not silly.
I have to wear one myself because my wife Carla loves to wear costumes.
I know. So, it makes me thank God Carla's the fun one of the group.
She's the fun
Bringing
one
up
of the group.
The fun.
So she's already picked out her costumes for June. And then there's a band. And very often the band, people get up and sing with the band, including Dan.
Band karaoke is kind of my thing.
I'm not suggesting you hang out for
warm
Dan singing,
summer evening,
singing with the band.
On but a train bomb from nowhere. That's the game.
Dan maybe sing. But the answer is there's great singers that get up there and sing with the band, have a
not
big time.
Named Dan, but other people who actually have some talent.
Yeah.
Maybe you thought about being a professional singer, but decided to become a lawyer instead.
It's great to see someone you may have heard speaking earlier in the program, or you know a little bit about, and then you see them in a social setting, and it just changes the kind of relationship and the connection with that person. And so that's a great thing to happen. It doesn't really happen in most other programs. Most programs are really drinking water from a fire hose. I mean, they're worried about getting the number of CLE hours they have, and very often the speakers are not, like for the Advanced Deposition College, we pick speakers who are good at this specific thing, which is not only doing the deposition, but being able to teach it. And so we don't really care whether they're connected to anybody organizationally or anything like that. We want good speakers who are good teachers and can deliver the content.
So you're saying politics don't rule the day at the Advanced Deposition?
No.
At the Philip Miller program?
No. And for the most part, I don't think it does at TLU either.
No, not at all. We don't care less.
It's like we want to find people who can actually deliver content and know what they're talking about. And so the nice thing about that is a fit for the Advanced Deposition Colleges. We don't have to deal with, you know, people who are being invited because of some reason other than
They're really great and they're a good teacher.
Yeah. And so we don't want to have anybody like that. And we won't have anybody like that at TLU because there's not any external, I hate to say there's no external control, but there's no external control
there
over
is.
Our content other
hey,
than
Ambrose.
You know, yeah, our desire to deliver content and have speakers that are going to be really well thought of and teach what's important.
Well, that's an important thing to do, to learn that important stuff, make a whole bunch of new friends. And, you know, when you're friends with people, it's a lot easier, even if they're well-known, famous travelers, a lot easier to pick that phone up and dial their digits and have them answer that phone call and actually give you a little time to help you, because it's a tough business and it's a lonely business, but it's a lot less lonely when you got a lot of friends, people actually care about you, because, you know, the older we get, the harder it is to make friends because we just don't have the time or the commonality of interest. But at TLU, because if you get there on time on Tuesday afternoon and you do the surf camp with Eddie or go play pickleball, or at least by Tuesday evening and join us for the Finch welcome dinner. See the Finch welcome dinner right there. It's on the back. We're big, that we really appreciate their support. But then you're going to start to make those actual friends and spend the next 4 days with them learning, doing activities, maybe having a tracksuit dinner or, you know, the Sach Oliver Wild West party, or the après-ski rooftop party, or any of those things, or the poker tournament every night. But whatever it is that you like to do, you're going to find people that like to do the same things. Maybe it's pickleball, you know, but and the idea is to find people with commonalities and have the time to spend with them to actually build those human connections. Because I was just actually, you know, listening to an audiobook today about, like, this, you know, the second act, like people that have great success, but maybe, you know, want to slow down, but then they feel useless and their whole identity is part of, or their social network is from the people they know at work and their friends at work. But it shows that the higher people climb, like the CEOs, they're the most loneliest persons because they don't have friends at work. Whereas, like, cause there's nobody, everybody's afraid of them, or they're, you know, dressing people down. Whereas, like, but the, like, the most important thing for the happiness, it's connections. It's having friends, you know, even friends like outside. Most people's only friend is their spouse. You know, they don't have actual friends that are, you know, people that actually care about them. And that's what, you know, I think TLU really is too, is like, it's a friend machine. It's an adult. I mean, it's because we need friends. It takes time to find them. And that way, by doing the workshops too, people join up. They have, find people who have commonalities, like working on your deposition skills, but also meeting up by Zoom ahead of time, getting those connections ahead of time. It's just getting a little FaceTime ahead of time. And then, like, the personal bios, because I give every, you know, everybody comes writes a personal bio, who they are in the first person, in addition to being the trial lawyer. And then, you know, but those kinds of things really facilitate connections to help people, you know, make the world maybe a little smaller place and just a couple more friends. And being friends with the best lawyers. And that's also, you get, so, because I want people to make more money. You make more money by getting better at your skills, but also having a robust network of community who collaborate on cases. You can call and get help with. Maybe they got a case that you specialize in, or maybe they need a trial consultant. They got the biggest case of their life, not quite sure how to go about it, and they need a little help. So, or they want to train on their skills and, you know, come and do a little training at the TLU dojo. So all those things and more are possible, Philip. Hey, other than people that maybe aren't, you know, for whatever reason, maybe they hate money, maybe they hate having fun, they hate warm, you know, beautiful weather at the beach, and they're not coming to TLU. But for those people who want to get a hold of you, who are making the grave mistake of their life by not coming to TLU Beach, how do they find you, Philip?
They can just find me on the internet, like almost anybody else.
No way.
Yeah. Or my email is pmiller@seriousinjury.com.
Okay, so no minor injuries, no scrapes.
No, P. Miller at seriousinjury.com.
You sound serious, Philip. All right.
I am. And then my telephone number is 615-394-7300. That's my cell.
All right.
So I'm you know, I hate to say it, but I work all the time. I mean, I like to go on vacation, that kind of stuff, but I like to work. You know, I like to work on interesting cases with good
fun,
lawyers.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like great. A challenge. It's a big puzzle we get to solve. We get to help other people solve.
Yeah. I don't know what other people do, but it's like, this is great.
I know. People that don't like being a lawyer, I'm like, you ain't the right kind of lawyer, because this is like the greatest fucking job in the world.
I mean, yeah. Should be.
Well, I mean, you get to do cool shit, hang out with cool people, and make money. Yeah. And, you know, if you're good, you get to make good money, you know? And it's like, you're not that good, you get a chance to learn to be good. And so there's nothing, because, like, when, especially at TLU, you see all these people that maybe were just all students last year, and so many of them are up there speaking this year, because, like, we all can do it. You just have to find somebody to help you.
Right. And they've made money. You left that part out. And they've made money in the last year.
Oh, I know. No, like, my friend that, you know, got this $12 million verdict, and he got it paid, too. I'm like, how was it like to be rich? He's like, it's nice. I'm like, I bet it is. Good for you. I bet it is. I mean, I never, somebody that made a bunch of money, but, you know, I really don't like all this money. It's pressure. You got to pay all these taxes. I'm like, yeah, it sucks. All these taxes you got to pay. Well, Phil, we appreciate you coming to Hermosa Beach and hanging out and bringing, especially appreciate you bringing your friend Robin Wishart with you, because she has been a real pleasure to get to know and spend some time with. And, yeah. And we're going to see you in about just over a month. Yeah. It's May 1st today, and this party starts on May 2nd for everybody who gets there. Ooh. For the pregame. For the people, how about the people coming to do the boot camp? They got to be here in Hermosa Beach by the 27th, and they're training right now, learning the fundamental skills, so that, you know, and reading your paper on, because people, I'm so glad you wrote the paper, because people, I see, why? What's your support for what you're doing? I'm like, I've been doing it for a lot of years and it works and people got results. Yeah, but I need something like theoretically written for my brain to handle that, accept it. I'm like, too fucking bad. But now I don't have to say anymore. I said, just read Phil Miller's paper on it. He could tell you all about you know, gestures and why they're meaningful and pacing and, you know, all this nonverbal communication.
Yeah. All the stuff that you wouldn't think about, but makes a big difference.
No, it makes a huge difference. I mean, it's like somebody says, good morning. It's like, what the fuck's your problem? Except good morning, right? All right, Philip. Well, how about goodbye? It's great to see you and have a safe trip, Philip. I can't wait to see you. I'm my favorite guy.
All right.
All right.
Good to see you.
Take care, buddy.
Thank you.